Hey, gang. Scott with the Scott Gertner Group, and I think we have a good one for a lot of you today. It came up out of a Super Bowl party mention. I was talking to this guy. Of course, real estate always comes up when I'm around, and he said, yeah, my house has doubled in the last few years, but it doesn't matter. I can't do anything with the equity. I said, yeah, you actually can. And then, so today I'm going to bring with you Tim Nelson from VIP Mortgage. We're going to talk about what you can do to tap into that equity, and there's actually a lot of good reasons to do that. Tim?
Morning, Scott.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I appreciate the invite.
You bet. But really, I would guess there's a lot of frustrated people out there, and we actually have a lot of suggestions of what you can do with that money. So I think this is an important topic. So tell us a little bit.
Well, so I work at VIP Mortgage. I've specialized in the last 13 years with a HECM loan product, which is an FHA-insured line of credit. It's different than your traditional line of credit in that you have options on how you repay the loan. But the nice thing is you can tap into all this equity that people have built up over the last 5 or 6 years just with the huge home appreciation that's been taking place. That allows you to tap in and use some of that equity to do all kinds of things. Like you and I were talking about, just kind of keeping up with the maintenance on homes, as well as using it strategically in retirement planning. A lot of people aren't as prepared as what we should be when going into retirement. Sometimes we have too much debt. Sometimes we don't have as much liquidity as what we would want. And there's a house sitting there not doing anything for a lot of people. And there's ways to strategically use that in retirement planning.
And they may not even need the money, but I would imagine for me, I can't imagine retiring. Again, I've still got twin 15-year-olds, so that's probably not going to happen. But just to know that I had that money available in an emergency or something else would be refreshing.
Definitely. You know, when I do a lot of business with financial planners, I do a fair amount of business with realtors, and we'll talk a little bit about how you can use this product to actually purchase a home. But, you know, there's all, when you talk to a financial planner, there's always buckets of money that are in different strategic locations in order to take advantage of, you know, what the stock market's doing and so on and so forth. But if you have additional liquidity, you have a home equity line of credit available over here to use in different scenarios, whether, you know, rather than dipping into the retirement portfolio, maybe the market's down a little bit, you want that that portfolio to rebound, you don't want to take money out of the portfolio then, you have this line of credit over here available. You don't want to, with inflation, you know, a lot of people might be dipping into that retirement portfolio to take care of the higher expenses that we're all dealing with. And if you have an additional bucket of money available to take care of ancillary expenses as they come up, that's going to minimize the risk of people outliving the assets that they've put into retirement portfolios by dipping into those for additional expenses as they come up. So having different buckets of money and having that available in that line of credit can complement what they've done with their financial advisor.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Now, in my world, it's about, you know, the guy said his house has doubled. Well, has it really doubled if he hasn't kept it up? And just a couple examples that, you know, when we're going to sell a home, we don't ask anybody to do anything to the home. We don't think they'll get at least twice their money back on. We don't think that's worth it. But the two things where we see it the most, in North Scottsdale, almost everything's about 30 years old, at least 20 years old, and the roof and the HVAC. If you haven't done those things, you can double your money. You know, the people walk into a 2,500, the buyers walk into a 2,500 home, and they look and they go, the roof and the HVAC are original? Well, that's $50,000. No, it's not. We can really do it well for half of that. So you can double your money, but if you don't have that money, that can be a little cumbersome.
Yes. Well, and like you say, there are several reasons. Number one, just taking care of those things when you need to take care of them. And sometimes when you're retired and you're on a fixed income, and all of a sudden those expenses pop up, you know, how am I going to take care of those? Having that line of credit available. But as we just talked earlier, you know, there's been significant home appreciation. But if you're not taking care of your home, if you're not taking care of the maintenance and the basics, you're not, your home isn't going to see that huge appreciation. There might be some appreciation. So owning a home is expensive, right?
Yeah, yeah. Particularly now, like you said, inflation.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, if we're not taking care of our home, if we're not keeping it up, then we won't always see that, the appreciation that other people are seeing when they're taking care of all the things that need to be taken care of with their homes, especially, like you say, if the home is 25 or 30 years old, then, you know, you're more apt to be running into the roof, the AC. I just was talking to a lady the other day who wanted to replace all of her windows because she's, I'm going to be in this house forever. And I needed, and she needed the roof and her windows replaced. And it was close to $50,000. Oh, yeah. Windows are not cheap. But it was something that she recognized she needed because there was whistling going on and so forth. And when your house is 25 years old, there's been a lot of better quality windows available today than what were around back then. So as you mentioned, you know, just homes are expensive to maintain, and having that line of credit to take care of those, keeping up with it, is a good option.
Well, one other thing, I'd like to talk more about the product and who can qualify and how it'll affect their lives. But one more thing on that is that one of the common things that we'll experience sometimes is when they have someone has original appliances in the home, we can change those out for stainless steel cost effectively, and it really improves the pictures. And we've done that so many times where we change them out just to sell the home, and they go, oh my God, why didn't we do this years ago? Well, honestly, so if you are living with a home that you think you should update, you'd enjoy updating, maybe you should do it just so that you can enjoy it. And the other benefit is you're going to get it back if you do it properly. We're happy to talk to you about what properly is, but you'll get it back. So maybe if you're not doing it because you don't have the money, this might be a way to do that.
I don't know your business that well, but I could only imagine that if somebody did go in and do a kitchen remodel, not complete where they're spending, you know, crazy money, but just upgrading everything, and then they're done and now you're getting ready to sell the house, I can imagine where they would say, gee, this is something that I may want to consider not moving and staying because of all these beautiful things that we've just done to our home that we thought maybe we needed to move to have those, and so on and so forth. So yes, I can see where that would be a conversation that people would have with you after the repairs and upgrades were all done. So yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So what about the product though? Can everybody qualify, or what's that like?
Sure. So, you know, we're talking about a loan product that's called a home equity conversion mortgage. It's an FHA insured line of credit. It's the old reverse mortgage, basically. Okay. So there's a lot of myths and misconceptions around this product. But to qualify for the reverse mortgage, the HECM line of credit, is you have to be 62 and older. As long as one of the married couple is 62 and older, both qualify and can be on the deed and not have any repercussions that if one would pass away, they're both protected. 62 and older, primary residence only. One of the things that has changed is back in the day when I first started doing these, people didn't have to qualify for a reverse mortgage. We used to think that, gee, if you didn't have to make a mortgage payment, then why do we need to verify income and why do we need to verify credit, right?
Yeah.
Well, it attracted more of that last resort product borrower, which is what the product used to be. It used to be a last resort type product. But then we realized that the quality of the borrower and the performance of the loans weren't very good. So these loans are sold on the secondary market just like a regular loan.
And it's when the loan expensive, isn't it?
When the loan doesn't perform very well, it is expensive. The rates are not very good. And so we now qualify borrowers. You need to have income to qualify. You need to have good credit. And so consequently, these loans perform much better. And the secondary market likes these loans much better. Rates have improved. Fees have improved. The product has improved significantly to where now we do business with a lot of advisors, financial planners, do a lot of business with realtors, showing people some very strategic ways of using home equity in using it as a part of a retirement plan. So the qualifications are pretty simple. And the nice part is it's not hard to qualify because there's no mortgage payment included in the qualifications. You know, we have to calculate in what the property taxes would be, what homeowner's insurance and debt listed on the credit report, but there's no mortgage payment for qualifying. So it's much easier to qualify. But as we mentioned earlier, owning a home is expensive. So there are qualifications that we need to make sure that people can afford to stay in the home. And we're not setting them up to fail. We're setting them up to be successful.
Well, we don't need to go into debt-to-income ratios and stuff, but I think what I hear you saying is that overall, it's really a pretty easy application. This isn't where they're really checking your teeth and everything.
Exactly. It's much easier to qualify for this than a traditional line of credit that you would get at the bank, because at the bank, you have to qualify based on ratios and, you know, payments and everything else. So that process is much, much more difficult for the qualifications go.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And then I think you mentioned, there's a lot of misunderstandings around the product.
Yeah, reverse mortgage sets people off. Like, oh.
Yeah.
In fact, the Super Bowl guy said that. I said, you know, you can get a reverse mortgage. Yeah, I looked into that. It was really complicated.
So some of the myths around it come from, so let's back up a little bit. The FHA insured HECM line of credit rolled out with Ronald Reagan back in 1989.
Wow.
Okay. Before that, there was a reverse mortgage product. And some of the myths and misconceptions around the reverse mortgage today actually come from back before the 1989 FHA reverse mortgage. So you did sign over your home. You could lose your home. If the loan went upside down, they could call it due. And all of those things that you hear about, they do come from somewhere. But that was so long ago, over 30 years ago. We're still trying to outlive those misconceptions. So you have three responsibilities when you do a reverse mortgage. You have to live in the home. It has to be your primary residence. You're responsible for paying your property taxes and your homeowner's insurance. And if you have an HOA, then you'd have a fourth. You need to pay your HOA fees. Living in the home, paying your taxes and insurance, as long as you continue to do those things, the terms of the loan will never change. If the loan goes upside down, we go through another real estate crisis like we did in 08, and you now owe more than what the house is worth. Terms of the loan never change. They don't call the loan due. You don't have to start making payments. You just live in the home, pay your taxes and insurance, and you're good. That line of credit cannot be canceled. With a traditional line of credit at the bank, if your home value were to go down, they could potentially cancel that line of credit because your home is no longer worth what it was when we gave you the line of credit. So there's a lot of safety nets associated with our loan product that aren't with any other product to protect the senior from
that scary from those, stuff that we heard about.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, sorry, this is an aside, but I'm also hearing that for the people that don't think they need this right now, it could make more sense to do it sooner rather than later for two reasons. One, your income could be much better. And two, the equity on the home could change or go be better. And you're saying it's locked in now. In fact, I think earlier you said it might even grow.
So let me show you a really good example of how that works, how the line of credit grows. So again, with the reverse mortgage line of credit, it's more based on actuaries. How long are you going to live? How much interest could accrue during your lifetime? So to qualify, traditional line of credit, it's really based on what your income is. How much of a payment can you qualify for? Where the reverse mortgage is based on three factors. It's based on age, home value, and interest rate. So in this scenario that we're looking at here, we have a 65-year-old couple, and their home is worth $500,000. And we're going to give them a line of credit. You can see over here on the far right-hand side, the line of credit is going to start out at $218,367. Yeah. So this is based on the after the first year, okay? So I jokingly ask people, I say, do you know of any mortgage companies that lend money for free? Obviously, nobody lends money for free. So in the reverse mortgage, the way it works is if you're not making that payment, the interest is being deferred or added on to the end of the loan, and the lender collects the interest at the end when you sell the loan, okay? Or when you sell the home.
Sell the house.
Okay. So in this case, we're basically starting out a loan balance is just rolling in the closing costs of the loan, okay? And we can cover the closing costs, but the closing costs are a little bit expensive, okay? And that's because a lot of the upfront costs go to FHA to insure your loan. All those protections that we talked about, there's a cost to that, and that goes to FHA.
It's kind of like the MIP, the mortgage insurance.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, yes. Makes sense.
Yep. So all of those costs are rolled into the loan, so they're not paying for them upfront. But that's actually one thing we were going to talk about kind of at the end, some of the pros and the cons around the reverse mortgage. It's not the right product for everybody. And because of the upfront cost, you don't want to do this on a short term. This is not a good short term loan. You want to be able to defer those upfront costs out over a 5 or a 10 year period of time. The reverse mortgage product is a great product if you're going to be in the home for a long time. This is where I'm going to retire. This is where I'm going to be. My last house, right. And then you can defer those costs out over a longer period of time, and the APR comes in line as time goes on. But in this case, you can see in year one, the line of credit is 218. And a lot of studies have been done on the financial planning side, and they show statistically it's the best outcome is to put this line of credit in place early, okay? And the reason for that is because of the growth factor in the line of credit. So the line of credit is going to grow at 0.5% over the current interest rate, okay? So you can see the line of credit starts out at 218.
Yeah.
5 years down the road, the line of credit has grown to $270,000.
Yep.
Okay? So when they reach age 75, 11 years down the road, okay? Now, when you're 65 years old, we're putting this in place for future use, for future benefit. You know, we talked about some of those earlier, home expenses,
yep.
Maybe the stock market's down, you're gonna dip into the line of credit, leave the stock portfolio alone. But as you age, one of the statistics I read is from Fidelity Investments that a couple retiring at age 65 in good health, over their lifetime, they're going to have out-of-pocket medical expenses of around $250,000.
Yikes.
Okay. So when you start getting older, you have a line of credit in place. At age 75, that line of credit has grown to $372,337. All of a sudden now, you have a very large line of credit to start using it for some of those ancillary expenses that are going to start coming up as you turn 75 or 80 years old. At 80 years old, your line of credit is, you know, $485,000, almost $500,000 line of credit. And obviously, as you use the line of credit, your line of credit will go down. Let's say in year five, where the line of credit is $270,000. 238. Let's say a large expense comes up and you need to borrow $70,000, okay? Obviously, the line of credit will be reduced down to $200,000, and your loan balance will go up to $70,000. So your loan balance would be $84,963 because your closing cost
right here, yeah.
plus the $70,000.
Plus the $70,000 loan, yep.
Right. So, but you had that line of credit available to take care of that expense without batting an eye. The money was there. It's available to dip into to take care of those expenses. Now you will be accruing interest on an $84,000 balance, but your line of credit will continue to grow at 0.5% over the current interest rate. So putting this in place is ensuring against any future decline in real estate value, because if you had a traditional home equity line of credit from the bank, and in year five, we assume your home is increasing in value. You can see property value is estimated to be 608.
Yep.
Okay. So that's based on a 4% appreciation. Okay. Now, if you had a traditional line of credit and all of a sudden that home isn't worth 608, the home is worth
$400,000,
more than likely that line of credit would be canceled. This line of credit cannot be canceled as long as you do the three requirements: live in the home as your primary residence,
yep.
pay taxes and insurance. That line of credit of $270,000 will be there and it will continue to grow. So you're putting it in place to hedge against future real estate decline or whatever. And the reason why the line of credit grows, remember there were three factors that determine your loan amount: home value, age, and interest rate. Well, two of those three factors are improving in your favor. We're assuming the home is increasing in value, and the older you are, the more money you can borrow. Because remember, it's based on actuaries.
Right.
So we're not going to lend the minimum age, somebody at age 62, we're not going to lend them as much money because we need to have enough equity in the home to absorb. They could live in that home for 25 years and never make a mortgage payment. So a 62-year-old borrower won't qualify as much as what an 80-year-old person would qualify for. Because the 80-year-old isn't going to live as long, there won't be as much interest accruing during their lifetime, so we can lend that person more money.
That makes perfect sense.
So age is improving, home values are improving. That's the reason why the line of credit grows over time. Okay? So having that bucket of money, knowing that that bucket of money will be there, is a great insurance and a great complement to an existing retirement plan that you might have with a financial advisor. Him or her, knowing that this line of credit is sitting on the sidelines, they can actually run, in today's world, their software that they run, different software, Money Glide Pro and Monte Carlo simulations showing what the portfolio will look like over time as you're taking money out, they can now incorporate a reverse mortgage line of credit in those strategies that they run.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So it complements what they're doing.
And just so it said, so now we had this event, we had to spend $70,000. Now I need to start making payments on that?
Great question. No. And in this example, it's a little bit difficult to show you how that works, but you can see in year five, with such a low loan balance, their annual interest rate is only $704, okay? They're not making an interest payment on the $14,000 that they've borrowed okay. to do the closing costs. But here's the interest that's accruing, being added on to the loan balance, okay, each year. So if the loan balance goes up to $84,000, now the interest will be more.
Yep.
Okay. And that interest is being added on to the end of the loan. So they're still not making payments, although it is a line of credit. If the borrower did want to make payments, that is definitely an option. 100% of what the borrower would pay into the reverse mortgage as a payment, 100% of that would be added into the line of credit for them to dip into it down the road again. So you could borrow, pay it back, borrow and pay it back. You have the options, and that's what's so nice about this product. The borrower is in control of how this is repaid. You can, you know, they get an inheritance and their loan balance has grown to $150,000 and they want to pay it down $100,000 and have the balance be $50,000. Well, they could lower the loan balance and increase the line of credit by $100,000 because they paid it down by that amount. So it's like any other line of credit with the options of how you repay the loan.
Well, I don't know. Would every line of credit have an option not to pay?
Only the reverse mortgage
line. Only the
line.
Reverse. So yes. This is really a very special animal in that respect. That
exactly. And if you went and got a conventional line of credit through the bank, as that loan balance continues to go up, what happens to the payment?
That increases also, right?
The payment increases also. Yes. So all of a sudden now, you know, you have a $150,000 or a $200,000 line of credit loan balance. Well, now you might have an $1,100 mortgage payment on that line of credit.
That you need to make.
That you must make. Yep.
Yeah. So this is way different.
Yes. Yeah. More control for the borrower. And when you're on a fixed income, it's all about cash flow, right?
Yes.
How much is coming in and how much is going out. And when you have the option of making a payment or not making the payment, it gives you all those options with cash flow. Where if you have a conventional line of credit, your cash flow can significantly be impacted as you continue to use that line of credit.
Yeah. Maximum flexibility, maximum sleeping better kind of a thing, right?
It is. It does impact people's lives significantly when we do this loan. And that is a comment many times that we'll hear is how much better I'm able to sleep at night. Another comment I've heard from people is, when I have this line of credit, I've had friends that call me up and say, hey, let's go out to Mastro's and have a nice steak dinner. My wife and I are going out. I don't think twice. I can go out and do those things that I maybe couldn't have done before. Or, hey, we're going to San Diego for a weekend. Would you guys like to come with us? I don't think twice. I just go do it now because I have this additional liquidity allowing me to do, using that home equity to do the things that we always wanted to do when we do retire.
So well, that's yep. Great. And I've seen it. My father-in-law was one that I think as a result of worrying about what if someday I don't have the money, he was incredibly frugal, let's say that. and that I think can become a thing. You can change your personality because you're so worried about it, whereas if you had this to fall back on, it could allow you to enjoy more.
Yes. And like you said earlier, it's an asset that's sitting there not doing anything. And even though it's increased significantly in the last 5 years, if you don't use it, it's basically a part of your estate that's going on to your heirs, which is a nice thing.
Yeah.
And if you notice here, one of the other things that I'll mention is one of the myths around the reverse mortgage is, well, if I do a reverse mortgage, the bank or the mortgage company keeps all the equity in my home. Okay?
Yeah.
So whatever the loan balance is here, you know, if some point down the road, you know, 15 years down the road, you have a loan balance of $150,000 and you decide that I want to sell my house, okay? All the reverse mortgage does is have a lien on the property just like any other mortgage. You still own title. You're still the owner of the home. There's a lien on the property. You call up a real estate agent and say, I want to move. I'm going to sell my home. You don't have to call the mortgage company and ask for permission or anything else. You sell the home. The reverse mortgage gets paid off through closing. You pay off $150,000. And the remaining equity is yours or your heirs. All the mortgage company wants at the end is the amount of money you borrowed plus any interest that you deferred and added on to the loan balance.
Yeah, the money you borrowed and the cost of it.
Exactly.
So if I sell my home for $1 million, there was $150,000 and the cost total of $150,000, I just get the $850,000. There's nothing else.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And we just had two of these come up where we're dealing with the kids as the parents don't remember or have passed, and they had no idea. It shows up on the title that it's a $1,000,001 line of credit, but we just saw it was $1,000,001 loan. We thought that was all gone. And the houses in both cases weren't worth that much.
Yes.
So it was kind of scary.
Yeah.
But then they found out that it was just a line of credit. Nothing is spent.
Right. And so, you get a monthly statement on this product, just like you do with any other mortgage. So you can see what your loan balance is every month, and that's all you owe. That's what the payoff is. So when they do want to sell the home, they can obviously calculate, and the real estate agent can calculate the equity position in the home.
So since we're on the topic of liens, we had our title company president here recently to talk to us about title fraud. And in that interview, she mentioned that having an encumbrance on the home can actually benefit you and help you to keep away from fraud.
I've seen a lot of communications around that topic. And obviously seniors are targeted a lot for all kinds of different fraud. And that is one of the frauds that, we see a lot of. Well, I shouldn't say see a lot of, but it is something that we need to be aware of. And with the reverse mortgage, there is that lien that is recorded on there that would protect them in that scenario. A fraudster would go in and they pull up title. It's public information.
Yep.
And they're going to see that there is a large lien on that property, even though the loan balance is very low. They're going to move on to another property that is free and clear or with a very, very small lien on that property. So there would be good protections included in having that reverse mortgage lien on the property.
So another type of insurance this actually provides,
Yes.
So that's cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Another topic, we have a client who's looking at downsizing. We actually get that a lot. Is there a way to use this product to downsize?
Actually, I think the reverse mortgage used as a purchase transaction is one of the biggest impacts that people can have when going into retirement. So typically, people want to downsize when they get ready to retire. We call it they want to right size.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of the big backyard, the second story. Us people getting ready to retire, we don't like stairs, right?
Yeah.
And we don't like big backyards either because that's a lot of maintenance and all. So they want to get the right size house. But they're also, in many cases, they want to downsize because they want to create more liquidity. They want to sell a $750,000 home. They want to buy a $500,000 home to add more money into the retirement portfolio to do some of the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a good example of a 65-year-old couple. They have a home that's free and clear, $750,000, and they're looking to buy a $500,000 home. So you can see we're going to subtract 8% in closing costs for selling the home. So they're going to net $690,000.
After all the commissions, fees, all that stuff.
Yeah, all the taxes.
$690,000,
yeah. Yeah, okay. So they net $690,000, and they're going to go out, and they're going to buy a new home, and they're going to pay cash. And why do they pay cash? They don't want a mortgage payment because they're on a fixed income and they're getting ready to retire. So they've downsized and they've created $190,000 in liquidity that they're going to pass on to their financial advisor to bolster up that retirement portfolio, okay? Which is what probably the majority of the people will do. But they're doing that because they aren't aware that there's a reverse mortgage option in purchasing a home, okay? So down below here, the same, everything's exactly the same. They're selling the $750,000 home, less the 8% in closing costs. They net $690,000. The purchase price is $500,000. The reverse mortgage is going to finance at closing. We're going to finance $173,000. And their down payment from the proceeds from the sale of the home, their down payment is $327,000. So this $500,000 home is going to cost them out of pocket $327,000. So now, instead of having $190,000 in liquid assets to add to the retirement portfolio, because the reverse mortgage is financing $173,000, they now have $363,000 in liquidity that they can give to their financial planner. We're almost doubling the liquidity in their in this particular scenario. Now, the reverse mortgage is still the option of not making a payment.
Yeah.
So they still going into retirement on a fixed income. They still don't have a mortgage payment. The interest will be deferred. But the one thing I like to stress to people is, you know, if this transaction took place and worst case scenario, after they close the loan, a week later they get in a car accident and they pass away, okay? Their estate is still worth the same amount of money, okay? All we've done is we've repositioned their assets. Instead of having a $500,000 home sitting over there not doing anything, what we've done is we've taken a portion of that equity and we moved it into the retirement portfolio. So yes, they have a $173,000 mortgage, okay, that interest is going to be accruing on.
Right.
But what we've done is we've taken a portion of that equity, instead of having it sitting in their home, we moved it over into the retirement portfolio. So yes, you have less equity, but you have more liquidity. So the estate is still worth the same amount of money. If they were to pass away, the heirs would still get the same amount of money. But the good news is they don't pass away in a week later. They don't get in a car accident, and they continue to live that long retirement lifestyle that they've always dreamed of. And they can do that because we've significantly increased the liquidity. So instead of tying up $500,000, we're tying up $327,000 and still not having a mortgage payment.
So the asset value is exactly the same. The only thing we've changed is the liquidity available to the homeowner.
Yep.
So that makes perfect sense. By the way, I would point, right here you mentioned 8% closing costs. You actually meant selling costs, total costs. So that
yes,
you get to 690. But this, I think that makes so much sense to have that much more available to you. So this could be a really good tool to downsize or even upsize if you felt like it. Doesn't really matter.
Great, great point. So thank you for leading me into the next slide, actually.
That's my job. That's why I'm here.
So let me ask you a question. How many times do you run into a scenario where people do want to downsize and they have a home that's worth $750,000 and you start showing them homes that are $500,000 and it's maybe not in the neighborhood that they want to be in? It doesn't have all the amenities that they want to be able to have. And, you know, this is my last house. This is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And I'm used to having all these amenities that I have in my $750,000 home. I want to have all those same things just in a smaller house. And when you start showing them what is out there for $500,000, they kind of don't get very excited about it. And they kind of fall off to the wayside because the concept of downsizing makes sense on paper. But when you start seeing the properties that are available and the areas that they're available, it's not as appealing as what it is on paper, right?
Definitely. And where we see it a lot, too, is when they start to look at the older homes. They think about, I got all that same maintenance. They want to go to the newer home. Now it's generally going to be significantly more, but I won't have all those headaches. It's updated. It's everything I want.
Yeah.
So that could really fit.
Yes. So actually, statistically, and I give you lots of statistics today, right? 31% of baby boomers that decide to right size instead of downsizing, they decide to right size. 31% of those people actually buy a more expensive home.
Really?
Yes. Now, it might be a more expensive home, but it's probably a smaller square footage.
Right.
It's, you know, doesn't have a second story and so on and so forth. But like you say, it's probably a newer home in some of these 55 and older communities that have the clubhouse, the pickleball courts, you know, all the activities available, book clubs and poker night for the guys and so on and so forth. So here's an example of upsizing from a $750,000 home into a $950,000 home.
Okay, pretty significant.
You're going to see that the HECM line of credit, the reverse mortgage product, is going to significantly increase the borrower's purchasing power. So up above, same scenario, they net $690,000 from the $750,000 sale. They're going to buy a $950,000 home. They're going to have to come out of pocket with $260,000.
From somewhere.
From somewhere. Either liquidate their retirement portfolio or get a conventional mortgage. And now they have, you know, $1,750 mortgage payment for the rest of their life.
Right.
Because you want to have a 30-year mortgage, keep the payment as low as possible, so the mortgage will now outlive them, right? Or the alternative is to finance the new purchase with the reverse mortgage. So the reverse mortgage is going to fund $346,000.
This one here?
Right. Their out-of-pocket or their down payment is $604,000. So they're still going to have remaining funds of $86,000 after they sell the home and they net $690,000. They're still going to have $84,000 after they put down the $604,000 on the $950,000 purchase. They still have liquidity. They still have no mortgage payment.
Still don't pay $1,750 a month.
They don't pay $1,750 a month, and they have the retirement that the retirement home that they dreamed of that is going to have everything they possibly wanted and more for them to live in for the next 20 plus years. So you can see the purchasing power is significantly increased, and because it's a reverse mortgage, there's no mortgage payment included in that transaction.
I can say I'm sure it doesn't fit for everybody, but that's a really viable option that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and because we're living longer and because we don't have pensions, we're relying on our own savings and Social Security. So how do we bolster up that retirement portfolio? There's ways of strategically using real estate because it's been such a good investment over the years. Home values have gone up so much that there's some very good ways of using it to be able to do the things that a lot of people thought maybe they might not be able to do, like your father-in-law.
Yeah.
And ease that burden of, I mean, let's face it, going from when you're getting a paycheck every month and knowing that that paycheck is coming in and going into retirement where now the money's coming out of that portfolio and being nervous that that portfolio may not last as long as I'm assuming I'm going to live. Because now financial planners assume people are going to live until they're 92 years old. That's the new life expectancy that they work off of now. So how do you extend the life of that portfolio? Well, incorporating real estate in that plan is one way to ensure more longevity in that retirement portfolio.
Oh, and that's, you know, I'm a proponent of that. I really believe that the Phoenix area is set to grow in the same way California has done my whole career. I've watched them because there's so much businesses and such. We don't know if that's going to happen, but it has potential for this to continue to grow because of that.
Yes.
So you benefit from that too.
Yep. And if there is significant home appreciation over time, there's the potential of refinancing a reverse mortgage to dip into that additional equity down the road as well. And the closing costs the second time around are kind of prorated, so the upfront costs are significantly less after that second time.
Well, that gets into the weeds a little bit, but that gives you, I hope this gives some people some really good ideas of some possibilities to do what this guy at the Super Bowl party said, not have all this dead equity, that you can actually take advantage of this newfound money that you can't touch. Now there's a way you can do it.
Yep. Last comment I'll make is another statistic that I have is today 61% of people going into retirement are going into retirement with a mortgage payment. Our lifestyles have changed. 25 years ago, it was less than 6% of people had a mortgage payment.
Wow.
25 years ago, we had the same job, we lived in the same home, and our lifestyles were completely different. Today, we change jobs often, we move often, and that last home might have been purchased when we were 50 or 55 years old. Now, 10 years later, we're getting ready to retire at age 65. We still have another 20 years left on our mortgage, okay? So a lot of the business that we do in our world is we roll the existing mortgage. Because there is so much equity, we take the existing mortgage, we roll it into a reverse mortgage. We free up that existing mortgage payment. We just improve their cash flow by eliminating a $1,500 mortgage payment. We just improve their cash flow by $1,500, which is huge. And in many cases, we would still have, let's say, you know, that line of credit was $213,000 starting out. Maybe they owe $150,000. There'd still be around a $50,000 or $60,000 line of credit. So we free up a mortgage payment, and we give them a $50,000 line of credit for emergencies, home expenses, home repairs, and still have that available to take care of those things down the road as they pop up. So purchase transactions, using it in retirement, eliminating a mortgage payment are just some of the things that we're doing today with the reverse mortgage and getting people ready to go into retirement.
That is awesome. Thank you. We're going to have Tim's contact information here. You're available, I assume. Questions?
Definitely.
Because there'll be questions. Talk to your financial planners, too. Sounds like a lot of those guys are endorsing such things.
They are. A lot of them still don't understand it, though. It's still education, 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 whether it's the consumer, financial planners, or real estate agents. So,
yep. Yeah, financial planners are just people. They wouldn't necessarily know.
Yep. So, and it's evolved and changed that they're not aware of those changes.
Awesome. Tim, thank you very much.
Scott, my pleasure. I appreciate the time.
So, gang, we know that this isn't for all of you guys, but there's a certain portion of you this could be very important for. And I hope that we've helped you with that today. And the other thing I hope we did was we debunked some of the myths about reverse mortgages. You know, going back to the Reagan era, holy cow, that's a long way. But, you know, bad news always sticks around better, longer than good news. So if you have any bad thoughts about it, call Tim. Really, take the time to talk to him, because this might make sense and really could change your life. As always, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.